One second, I gotta turn the power down. Good to go.
Alright.
Should set this right here,
that's
so.
Fine.
The date is May 14th. It's approximately 12:14 p.m. My name is Trooper Ben Schlock. I'm with the Illinois State Police. This is
Special Agent Jennifer Smith. I'm also with the State Police.
We're Zone 5 Investigations. We are here today just to talk about some of the allegations that are in the news, online. I'm sure you're very familiar with it. Would you please state your name for us?
Sure. My name is Robert Lee McCall. It's spelled M-C-C-A-L-L.
What is your date of birth? And then a telephone number for you?
I'll give you my cell phone.
And then an address. Okay, and then before we get started with, I guess, some of the questions we have for you, has anyone ordered you to speak to us today?
No, not at all.
So no one's directed you to? And obviously there's a door there, you're free to walk away or stop answering at any point in time.
And then we did cover the audio recording, and you...
Yes,
so you're good with the audio recording.
Perfectly fine.
Start out with, I guess you're the timekeeper guru for the department.
I submit the payroll to the treasurer's office. There's a lot of people that collect the time, and not a lot of people, but it gets to me.
Okay.
To submit to the treasurer's office. Yes.
Okay. Do you just want to, you know, very high level, kind of walk us through
Sure.
your duties for that?
My duties for timekeeping, mm-hmm. or in general?
Just how you get the reports, and then.
We have a jail sergeant who collects the hours and the overtime slips and the comp time slips for the jail staff. She then gives them to our leads coordinator, Bob Zukowski, who kind of coordinates that all for me, verifies the hours and the days and the overtime with the schedule, okay? And then he submits it to the secretary. The secretary gives me those slips along with our payroll sheet that has everyone's salary already on it. And then I fill out any overtime on that sheet and I email it to the treasurer's office.
Okay, and that's just specifically for what staff, I'm sorry?
It's for everyone.
For everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
That's jail staff, correctional officers, dispatchers, custodians, the court security, deputies, the sheriff, myself, I mean, everyone affiliated with the sheriff's office.
Who's the jail sergeant?
Dane Burkhead.
Can you spell his last name, if you know?
It's her. And
oh,
it's,
sorry.
That's right. B-U-R-K-H-E-A-D.
And she monitors everybody else and then forwards that to you?
Yes.
Okay.
So is she, I guess, the first line of approval then, or does she just kind of gather it?
I would say essentially, yes. She's the first line of approval because she does the schedule. So she's the one that knows if somebody needs a day off and that shift needs to be covered. She is the person that covers that shift. And if it needs to be covered by overtime, then she covers it with overtime. So
okay.
Yeah, essentially, she would be the first line of approval. She doesn't initial the slips. Bob Zukowski does that, the leads coordinator that mm-hmm. I told you about, to verify that that on the schedule didn't take place.
Okay.
Now, one question that's come up about the schedule. Prior to being paid, is the time worked paid at all before it's actually worked, or do they get paid after the fact?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Okay. Right? Much talk has been had about when employees are paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once again, like, this is a system that we inherited. It's not the one that we created. It's
okay.
I've been at the sheriff's office for 28 years. This is the exact same payroll system that was in existence when I walked in the door in 1993.
Yeah.
We inherited. That being said, yes, I fill out payroll on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Payroll goes into the treasurer's office on Monday morning. It includes on that payroll Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, so yes, in essence, the payroll is submitted before an employee has worked on that Thursday shift,
okay,
or Friday shift, or any of those between now and midnight on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what happens if they call in sick or take comp time or? Mm-hmm.
They still get paid because they are contractual employees. They put in a sick slip, and that amount of time that they took off for being sick is deducted from their books.
Okay. But they're paid strictly on a salary schedule?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So what about
comp time, vacation, that all has to be approved.
Sure.
Before they take it. Sick is something, or a personal day is even something different. Personal days can be taken at, hey, I need to take a personal day today, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily need to be pre-approved, but any comp time does, or vacation, of course, because the schedule has to be addressed.
Okay. You said, was it Dane?
Yes.
Okay. And was it D-A-N-E?
D-A-I-N-E.
So she creates the schedule then, you said?
She is in charge of the correction schedule.
Okay, and that includes, I believe, awarding the overtime or figuring out when OT needs to be, I guess, given out?
Yes, to cover a shift.
To cover a shift.
Right. Okay. If the only time I get involved in the correction schedule is if there's... Like we had two people gone to PTI at the same time for correction school, and so she would come to me asking, you know, do you want me to cover this with overtime, or do you want me to move so-and-so from days to that sort of thing? It's really the only time I get involved in the correction schedule.
So the slips that employees are filling out, like the overtime slips,
yes,
comp time slips, who does that go to then for approval?
Corrections goes to Dane.
Okay.
Dispatch would go to Bob. Deputies come to me.
Okay, so you approve all those and make sure that those are actually being worked?
Yes.
Okay.
And every bit of time that's taken has to come through you, so there would be no slipping extra overtime in without you signing off for approval?
Correct.
Gotcha.
What are employees, you know, to include all of them, but mainly for the purpose of this question is deputies, how does their time on the air, so when they go 41, 42, mm-hmm. How does that impact, I guess, their timekeeping, or does it?
I'm not sure. I mean, they have a schedule.
Right.
So they go 1041 on our CAD system, go 1042 on our CAD system. It really doesn't affect their time unless there's a question on whether or not they actually worked it, then I would check the CAD system.
Okay. Has that ever come up in recently or in the past?
No.
No? Are you aware of any employees that may have or currently are abusing the timekeeping system, whether they're submitting, you know, more overtime than they should, or, you know, they're calling off early than just going home? And
if that's happening, I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
And I can try to give you an example of what he's talking about.
Sure.
What they've done is basically taken the CAD system and they've compared it to people's actual 1041 and 1042 times, and they've identified discrepancies.
Okay.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, but the sheriff said this as well. Regardless of their 41, 42, their salary employees paid on an 80 hours every 2 weeks.
That's schedule. Absolutely correct.
Okay. Unless they get overtime, and then at that point the overtime's added each day on top of the 10 hours, it doesn't matter if they hit their 40 hours yet. If they finish 10 hours of work and they go over two, that's 2 hours of overtime, correct?
Correct.
At time and a half?
At time and a half.
Okay. I'll show you exactly what we have. Okay, so here would be an example of an exhibit. So I'm not Cindy Jones, for instance.
Uh-huh. Is
she a telecommunicator?
She is.
So it would be here, 20 minutes short, so the 1041, 1042 times.
Okay. The dispatchers, if a dispatcher comes in early as a courtesy to the one that is going off. Mm-hmm. And that dispatcher that is coming in is fine with taking over the radio, then we allow that to happen. The dispatcher that's going off, if the dispatcher coming on wants to take over the radio earlier, the dispatcher coming off goes.
And they are still paid on the 40 hours a week schedule.
Correct.
So, and this is, I'm just showing you exactly what they're talking about.
Yep.
So if this says 39 hours and 30 minutes, that could just be an issue of going on and off the computer system with 30 minutes unaccounted for.
Correct. It could also be an issue of, there's one particular gentleman that comes to mind that's the dispatcher, Jack, Jack Ezell. He comes in early all the time, and he relieves the off-going dispatcher all the time. Sometimes the dispatcher will log off the CAD because Jack says, hey, I'm ready to take over. They log off, he logs in, and then the most important thing to me is somebody's there answering the phone and answering the radio, clearly, right?
Yes.
But yes, I am aware that they do relieve each other early, and it is possible that they go off the CAD early.
In terms of timekeeping, okay, so there was one issue of a new employee who, there's a claim that per the contract they don't earn personal time or time off, and that time off was taken prematurely, I guess, during that first year of employment. Is time added to the books as of, say, January 1st, and then they can take it whenever they want throughout that first year, or is it added every month?
What time?
For instance, like personal time that they might get off, or vacation time that should be earned throughout the year?
Everyone gets their vacation and personal time all at the same time, and vacation time is put on the books. It's all different. Vacation time is put on the books January 1st.
So they may have vacation time on the books that they haven't technically earned? They're going to earn it throughout the year, but as of the time that it's on the books, if they wanted to take that time in January, could they essentially take it before they've actually worked the time?
I don't think they get it before the contract says that. You have to work here a year before you get any vacation.
Okay. Do you know the exhibit I'm referencing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
For the... Is it in the summary?
Yes, I believe so.
That's on the...
Excuse me, can I check this?
Oh, yeah. Check. No, you're fine.
Like I said, I know all vacation time gets put on, you know, January 1st. But you get a week after your first year, 2 weeks after your second year, and then I think you work here 15 years before you get 3 weeks, and then four after 20, I think, is what the contract says. But is believed that somebody took vacation time that they didn't have or should have gotten.
Well, here's exactly what it says. Quentin Williams started 10/22 of 2019. Does that sound correct? So this past October?
Yes.
Okay. He was given 24 hours of personal time, which according to the contract has to be after the probation period of 1 year or completion of PTI. He was given 24 sick hours, and those are to accrue at 8 after each month of service. He would have been credited on 11/22 and 12/22. This is an overcredit of 8 hours for the year. And there was another question here of earning comp time on holidays. Do they earn 12 hours of comp time?
If they work the holiday.
If they work that day.
And they want comp time. There's.
So here's, and I'll give you this example. So it says on November 28th, he was credited for working a holiday when he was on the clock for 26 minutes. He should have been comped 8 hours and not 12. Which if I go to...
He was on our CAD for 26 minutes.
I'll pull it up right here. So it says holiday.
This would be Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It says he was on from 1437 to 1503. And then there's also an attached, so let's pull this up real quick. And again, I'm just trying to get clarification on what the complaint being made is.
Basically, yes. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he went off when?
Well, it looks like that is...
That's not even when the shift starts.
We may have to go back and compare the CAD because it doesn't look like that is included in the dispatch log. But according to what the...
Yeah.
And this is not anything that we have found. This is what's been provided to us.
I understand.
But yeah, so if you want to write this down, or I believe this CE is comp earned.
Yeah, that sounds right. 12.
It says 12 over, and it says 41 was 1437, which would be 237, and then 303, 26 minutes.
But see, he would have gotten off at 3 p.m.
He worked day shift?
On that day he did.
Okay.
See, it doesn't make sense that...
Because here would be...
He would have gotten off at 3 p.m.
Okay, and this makes sense because here we show 7:14 to 15:12.
Right.
7:37 to 14:50, which...
7 to... Well, he must have worked over or something.
Yeah, there might have been overtime, but I'm surprised that it's not listed on here how...
I'm saying there must be a mistake with this number.
Hour, here. 1 hour, and 40 minutes. And then here, yes, it says that, but... Could there possibly be a CAD issue on something like this?
It has to be.
Okay. Because at some point somebody has to cover. So if we pulled up the schedule on who would have...
Who else? Because I require, the state requires, 2 correctional officers in this facility at all times.
And then how many deputies?
Are required.
Or would you... What's your minimum staffing, I guess?
2.
So no matter what, he would not be on his own.
No there. Matter what, he would not be on his own back there. There's got to be a mistake in CAD.
Okay.
Because it's interesting that he clocked out at 1507 because that would have been the shift change at 3 p.m.
Are there times where employees maybe forget to go 41?
Absolutely.
And that's happened?
Absolutely.
Do they get written up or is there any type of action taken?
No.
Just... Hey, remember to go 41.
Of course.
So on this, I'm going to put possible error in timekeeping, and then can that be some issue that you take a look at when you get a chance to talk to radio?
Clearly. Dane is sick today. I could probably take care of it right now, but she's sick today. But to further expand on the comp time holiday, the employee by contract has the choice on whether or not they want paid or comp time for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you work a holiday, you get either 12 hours of pay or 12 hours comp. If you don't work it, you get either 8 hours of pay or 8 hours of comp. Your choice.
So Cindy Jones,
yeah.
Her position?
Midnight dispatcher.
Okay. So I'll just, this is kind of an example of what's being claimed. So it says Cindy Jones was overpaid a total of 20 regular hours at $19.71 for a total of $394.
Okay.
Most of this is because numerous days were not the full 8-hour workday. She was overpaid 3 hours and 5 minutes of overtime at $29.57 for $90.19. This is a total of $484.39. I believe a lot of this is because of poor record keeping.
I would say without knowing exactly what happened, it's the daytime dispatcher or leaving the midnight dispatcher early.
And going off the CAD?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about that?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
What are log in, log out reports? And I'll be specific as
yeah,
what
can
I'm
you give me
at.
An employee?
So it says Tyler Koontz was overpaid 233 hours of regular pay for 2332 for a total of $5,448.25. He was underpaid 56.17 hours of overtime at $34.98 for a total of $1,964. He was given comp time earned on 5/14, 7/18, and 8/12, and on those dates there are no log-in, log-out reports. So basically, I think that she's trying to argue that he was given comp time, but there's no 41/42. So let's go to 5/14, for instance. Let's see.
Of what year?
This is saying...
Probably 2019.
2019. Okay. So... Let me go to Exhibit 3. And I'm just trying to be upfront as we talk about this. I don't want to beat
absolutely.
Around the bush. And okay, so...
Tyler Koontz was a no longer employed here. He works for the Department of Corrections, but he was a midnight deputy. His normal shift... He was our floater. His normal shift would have been 10 p.m. to 8 a.m.
So five/14.
He would be a deputy that
like right here.
Go ahead.
If it says like Sean McQueen,
yeah.
And then it says no logs and then CE8 for Tyler Koontz. Do you know what that would mean? Like, would he, since you said he's a floater, would he have just filled in this day without his name necessarily being there?
Yeah, this is my schedule that I would put notes on. Like, this is my handwriting.
Okay
Sean McQueen off personal day.
Okay.
This is for sometimes my notes make it onto the schedule, sometimes they don't.
And this was what was turned over to them in the FOIA request?
Yes. That I keep that on my desk as a reminder to me. Like I said, the notes don't always make it on there. Like, let's say for an example that Sean McQueen called in that night sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he did or not. I'm just using this
yeah.
as an example. I would have called Tyler asking him if he could cover that shift. That wouldn't have made it onto this,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless it occurred. I'm just using that as
yeah,
an
so
example.
Yeah, so
if somebody
comes in and works a shift,
yeah.
that would be worth 8 hours of comp earned or 12 hours for time and a half.
It would be 8 hours comp, but it goes on his books as 12 hours.
Okay, that makes sense. So in his overtime request, he would say 8, but it would automatically populate to 12 because it's over his allotted shift.
Right, and comp is also earned at time and a half as well.
Gotcha.
Okay, so even though I might get a comp slip in, and for him it'd be 10 hours because they work 10-hour shifts, so I don't know why that's 8.
Is there an official schedule that is... filled out to the T, or are there possibly some gaps like this in there?
There are certainly gaps in there.
Okay.
I put out the schedule at the end of May for June, right?
Okay.
And then during the course of the month, obviously, guys are sick, they take off, they put in for late vacation requests or anything like that, and changes are made as we go.
Okay. So there's a chance that certain things are not listed on here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anywhere where that, like an accurate record, could be located?
Like if a guy's out and let's say Tyler takes his spot, is there a daily schedule for the PCs?
Where we could prove that he worked that day?
There would be a slip that he would have filled out where he would have gotten that comp. It's wrong. Yeah, go right in. Right, I know what you're asking.
Or could we possibly pull up his 1041, 1042 time for those days?
On that day, yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so what, that may be one way that we can try to piece this together is we can get you a list of
yep.
where they're saying that there's no log, and then we can more specifically ask radio, can you create
yep.
A list of these actual...
Might even be able to go into CAD and see where he was dispatched to a incident on that particular date too to further verify.
Because right now the assumption being made on this end for the treasurer's
is
office
that schedule
is
the end all.
Yes, and that this person was given 8 hours without doing anything. And that's where they're coming up with this overpayment is, I mean, let's do easy math. If you take 8 hours times, you know, $30,
sure,
that adds up quickly. And if there's
a lot of employees covering shifts for, you know, other employees that are sick over the course of, you know,
sure.
I mean, how many deputies do you have here?
12 that work the road.
Okay, and so if you, on each schedule, there's typically two scheduled per shift?
Well, yes, we have overlapping shifts.
So if one person calls in, that can kind of jumble the schedule quickly.
Yes.
And I understand that. I mean, I've worked where there's minimum manpower. And
I'll get text at 9:30 at night where one of the 10 o'clock guys needs to take off because he's sick, you know, so if there's another guy out there or I'm heavy on that night, there's no action that needs to be taken. There are times that I scramble around trying to find somebody to cover, you know, from basically, it would be from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. because I wouldn't have anyone else out there. Sometimes I would say, hey, can you just stay on? I'd have the other guy just stay on until 8 o'clock. We do a lot of flexibility in the schedule that doesn't always make it to that.
Do you have any concerns with any of your deputies abusing overtime, sick time, not working when they're supposed to be, anything like that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I was just going to ask the same question.
Yeah. In terms of personal time, so if I'm a new employee here,
mm-hmm.
would you just give them their personal time up front?
Yes.
So they could have used that prior to completing probationary?
Yes.
Okay. And that's something that's a contractual issue,
it is.
Obviously people have to earn their time, but that's another thing that they're trying to...
Understand.
They're getting involved with the contract as well,
yes.
trying to make sure that the contract is followed. So, which the sheriff told us that there was just an arbitration that went through, so
yes.
we're going to try to get all that documentation as well to figure out what went on between the county and the FOP.
Yes.
And I think that'll provide some clarification on that. We discussed briefly with the sheriff the firearm sale that went down.
Yes.
Do you by chance know his name, the gentleman that had passed that left those 32 firearms?
Ah.
And if not, it's okay.
Yeah,
so he's going to try and find us that paperwork.
Yeah. Top of my head, no.
Okay. Can you give us just a brief synopsis of that discussion you had with the state's attorney in reference to those firearms and
yes.
how they got to where they were?
We get called to a residence in Tower Hill where this gentleman is shooting this firearm outside of his house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The deputies arrive there. He does not have a FOID card at the time. I think it's revoked. He gets arrested for unlawful use of a weapon. We take all the firearms from his house. And he is arrested. His house is a house in name only. You know, very kind of ramshackle, not well taken care of, nor was this gentleman. I believe he spends somewhere around 30 days in this facility
okay.
waiting, you know, his court proceedings. At some point in time, he takes a plea agreement. And I get a call from the state's attorney's office that says, hey, so-and-so pled guilty to this, and he forfeited those guns over to the sheriff's office. And funny story, the first thing I said is like, who? You know, because I never can remember this guy's name. So she tells me the name, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember the case. And 30 days, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of nurse him back to health here, but anyway, she gives me a call. He is, as part of his plea agreement, he has forfeited the guns over to the sheriff's office. And I say, what does that mean, Gina? And she's like, they belong to the sheriff's office. Oh, I said, okay, sounds good.
And did she ever give you that in writing?
No.
Okay.
So, time passes. And they're sitting down there, in everyone's way, quite a few firearms. And the evidence guy comes to me and says, what are we going to do with these guns? I said, well, you know what? I was told they belong to the sheriff's office. Let me call over there and see what we can do. So I called Gina. We had the same exchange about the guy's name, who, that sort of thing. Okay, back and forth. I was like, the guy forfeited the guns over to the sheriff's office. What can we do with them? She says, I think you can pretty much do anything you want to with them. I was like, okay. So we came up with an idea of selling the firearms as a fundraiser for our Shop at the Cop program, of which we did. Come to find out, that was the wrong thing to do. And we made a mistake. And we got all of them firearms back and issued refunds to all of the people that bought them. And they are in this facility as we speak today.
Who, I guess at what point did you guys realize it was wrong, and who brought it to your attention that it was not correct?
The sheriff. The sheriff, we started getting FOIA requests, I guess, or some questions about the gun sales from different county board members. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a law enforcement committee or something like that. And wanting to know, what about these gun sales? And the sheriff got on Judici and found that Judici and the documents at probation, where this guy was put on probation, said forfeited gun and not guns. And so that got us going, oh boy, right? Mm-hmm. So there was just, according to the documents, only one gun forfeited, not all the guns. So we started inquiring, hey, we have done this, should we have done this? No, we should not have done this, and we made a recall and got them all back.
Did Gina acknowledge that that shouldn't have been done? Did she ever claim that she was wrong by telling you that they were yours, or?
No.
Okay. So nothing further from her end came from it?
No. And to further complicate the situation a little bit, between the time, well, okay. Going back a little bit, Gina called me and said something to the fact, hey, the guy that forfeited the guns passed away, mm-hmm. right? And we had some sort of conversation at some point. He like passed away like 30 days after he was released from here or something like that. Because I remember we were waiting 30 days to do anything with the guns in case he filed an appeal. And sometime between the time he pled guilty and those 30 days from the time he could file an appeal, he passed away. But then we ended up not doing anything with the guns for 6-7 months or whatever. Okay.
How was the value of the guns determined?
We had a deputy look at the market value of the firearms in one of these online things and stuff like that, and price them to sell.
Did you use a third party?
We did. It was Locked and Loaded over in Pana. Okay. They're the ones that actually did the transactions with the state for us.
You know if they would have any records there?
I don't.
Okay. Do you have a name of somebody that you dealt with?
I don't.
And to your knowledge, are all the guns accounted for today?
Every single one of them.
And then was the money that was raised and went to the Shop with the Cop Fund?
Yes.
Was all that money returned then?
Yes.
To?
People that purchased the firearm.
Okay. And then are you aware of like an extra $25 reimbursement?
Locked and Loaded charged everyone a transfer fee for handling the transfer of ownership of the guns, and that was also refunded. And I believe the sheriff made up the majority of that overpayment, if you want to call it that, back to the Shop of the Coffin.
Okay.
And I think all of that money has been put back in by volunteers and stuff like that, realizing the situation and the Shop of the Cop program.
What was made off the firearms? They kind of made up for the difference of it?
I'm sorry.
What was profited from the firearms that they had to take back? Other people have stepped in to make up for that gap for the fundraiser, I guess?
And the buyers of the firearms. Okay. Donated the money back to the program.
Okay. Do you have any other questions on that? Hmm. Can you go into the process for the jail commissary account?
That is not me.
Okay, who runs that?
Tina.
Tina.
Wade.
So you have no...
I do nothing with the jail commissary account. Okay. Every once in a while I'll ask for how much is in there if we have a fingerprint machine to buy or something like that. You know, that would be appropriate, but I know nothing about how that money is
handled.
So you don't know, like, what goes into that account or what goes out?
No. Well, what goes out, I mean, not on a daily basis. Like, if we have a vendor that needs paid and they're paid out of the commissary account, I don't have access. I don't have that every day. But if we're making an expenditure, like I said...
Generally speaking, you know what it's for and what it does, but not the specifics.
Correct.
And then what about when your department receives a FOIA request? Do you have any input on that, or how's that handled?
We have a FOIA officer. It's Erica Bailey. She occasionally asks me questions in regards to documents that should or can be released, but other than that, it's handled by her.
Okay. And then to your knowledge, are those requests handled an appropriate amount of time, or?
Eric is very good at getting that stuff out within the 5 days of time.
Okay. So there hasn't been any issue with getting people what they need? Maybe exactly like what are you wanting, but as far as delaying it, does that happen?
There was one issue with the FOIA request we received from the treasurer's office, and it was a confusion in regards to whether or not we were going to answer that FOIA request at that time. We ultimately did.
Okay. And then do you, I guess, would Erica get guidance from the state attorney's office about exactly, you know, the rules regarding FOIA requests, or, you know, what you should and...
I don't know if she has ever reached out to the state's attorney's office for guidance on a FOIA request. She attends that training every year, of course, and she's pretty sharp on that herself. So okay. I can't answer if she's ever reached out to the SA's office for guidance.
Let me go to Exhibit 20 real quick. And that deals with the FOIA. Again, I apologize. There's a lot of information to try to organize here.
A lot of information.
Sure.
And I'm sure if some of these things you may have to go regroup and then
Absolutely.
Come back with.
Yep. I understand.
Okay, so from Erica Bailey, it says, this was in response to your email this morning asking for the applicable documents. Since we do not use time cards, we're still currently working on the FOIA request received this morning regarding comp and vacation time. It says here the request was for a copy of the public record used to document time worked, overtime, vacation, and comp time for all employees in the following departments for the last 12 months. If so, it appears you're telling me that you have not documented, or you have not, should say documented, but it says you have not documents. Just want to be accurate here.
Yeah.
For time worked, overtime, vacation, and comp time, while I appreciate the calendar provided, it does not reflect any hours. How are hours actually worked going to be tracked? And then... I guess here it says, Mr. Allen, who would that be? This is from Don Coons.
This is from Don, probably Kirk Allen.
Okay, would he be on the county board?
No, I think he's the Edgar County Watchdog, one
okay.
of the watchdogs. I'm assuming.
And I would assume that this, okay, so January 16, 2020, is this around the time that you all located the error of 40 hours being worked in 1 week cycle and 30 hours in the next?
Yes.
Do you have the actual day that you guys located that issue in timekeeping? And I don't know if you've seen this specific letter, but it says, the issue lies in the four-on and four-off type of rotating schedule. What is happening is that depending on what the pay period falls, one shift will have worked 80 hours while the opposite only works 60. This would repeat the following pay period, then switch.
Right.
The average for a full cycle would be 70 hours.
Right. So it all has to do with what our four-on and four-off schedule was doing in regards to how the payroll rolled around.
So, as the sheriff said, you need that extra month where he said a 13-month pay period would make it even. So,
or twice a month, like you guys get paid.
Yes.
It would eliminate all this.
So, how long do you think this cycle was going on?
I think the four-on and four-off schedule came into existence fairly soon after Sheriff Kuntz took office.
Okay.
Somewhere early 2015.
So they could be arguing overpayment from 2015 to present.
Sure.
Given that, with that being said, we'll have to go through the contract and see how that reads to say if they are salary employees.
Right.
And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm just trying to make sense of it for myself as well.
I perfectly understand. And as we read the contract, they are non-exempt salaried employees. They just are. There is a pay matrix that says they get paid X amount of money per year.
Okay.
Period.
Do you have anybody that would have an end of year statement that shows what each deputy was paid each year?
I don't know if we would have that in
this
office.
For instance, if you go on, and this is on like the state police website, you can see our salary tracked throughout the year.
This office would not have anything like that, I don't believe. Tina might, but I don't know why she would.
Okay.
Basically, a deputy with 15 years on makes X amount of money, and you take that amount divided 26 times. That's what they make per year. And the sheriff decides what schedule they work.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other questions on that?
What was the deputy, Dudra?
Dudra.
Mm-hmm. There was one summary that was referring to him, and the amount was substantial. I'm just curious if we could just go through that one.
Exhibit 23, it says Justin Dudra was overpaid 327.25 hours in 2019, totaling 8,257. He was overpaid 52 hours of overtime, totaling 1,968. And he was overcomped 38.75 hours, earning a total of 970.48. This is a total for 2019, 11,196.47. This is 1 year. Justin has been underpaid 18.4 hours of overtime in 2020, totaling an underpayment of 696. I'm not sure if this is an attempt to make up for 2019. Have there been any attempts to modify pay schedules now to make corrections from the past?
No.
And I guess at this point, is the county board acknowledging that there were some errors in the payroll? Is that something that's with the 40-30 time frame?
No, I think many of the county board members that have read our contract realize that they are salaried employees.
Okay. And they're comfortable with that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Sure.
Let's see.
I'm just curious if now that we, with the whole scheduling thing about how if another employee was scheduled to work, he or she has an issue, cannot come into work, Dudra, you call, Deputy Dudra, and he's available to work. I wonder if some of those discrepancies can be explained by something like that, or is there a different issue?
It'd be easier if you just take a look at it together. So, see. Here on the calendar, we'll say comp earns 6 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. So, we'll just kind of go to his. Well, it's your calendar that I think she marked up. So, paid bonus. 5 OT, is that how you're reading that? I don't.
Okay.
Or 5 CT maybe?
One. one thing that pops into my mind is Deputy Dudra is one of my Alice trainers.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Active shooter training?
There you go.
Okay.
So it is possible that that is a date and a time and an amount of time that he spent teaching a class somewhere.
Gotcha. Would he by chance have any documentation of that that he could help us with?
We would have a that comp time slip.
Perfect. How do you organize your comp time slips now? Are they kept in a drawer in a mm-hmm. folder? Okay, so if we need access to these? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tina maintains those?
So all those are, anything that's been turned in for overtime is in there. So would your comp time slip say date, time, purpose?
Yep.
Okay. That may be another day's project of going through and...
I'm assuming they're questioning that date because he was off, and then all of a sudden he has 5 hours comp time showing up on that date on his sheet.
Yep.
I am almost certain and that would be a day that he was teaching Alice.
If we go through a calendar here, 6 hours, 6 hours, it's... That makes sense.
I can't say one, you know, but...
I can't force you to produce these, but what may be helpful for us is, again, and I've explained this to the sheriff, we were provided one side of the story.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to take some time, but possibly start the process of getting together copies of time cards for each deputy that are separated so that we can take those and compare what they're trying to present.
Sure.
So that we can accurately say, okay... Yes, he put in for 6 hours here, but this is what he did. This is what he was on the clock for.
You have full access to anything that we have.
Okay. Possibly one day next week if you want to let the secretary know.
Absolutely.
If we could come in, that may be something that'll provide a lot of insight. Because if you go through, and this is on everybody's sheet, they'll have question marks, and they want answers. And according to the sheriff, there hasn't been much of an open conversation back and forth. Where they've come in here and necessarily asked you to explain this stuff?
None.
Okay. And so, right now we're sort of the mediator.
In between.
And hopefully we can shed some light on some of this.
The sheriff and the treasurer do not speak at all. I'm the only, I guess, the line of communication to that office right now. And it's work only, you know.
What type of time is allowed to be paid out in cash at the end of the year?
In September, the contract allows for comp time, any accrued comp time to be cashed in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at the end of the year, December 31st, thereabouts, any leftover vacation time is allowed to be cashed in.
Do they have to maintain a minimum amount to cash or no?
No.
Is nor, sick time ever cashed out?
No. Nor is personal.
Are people ever able to go into the negative on time off? So if, say for instance, they earn one sick day a month, they catch the flu and they need to be off 3 days when they haven't earned that time, can they take those off and then earn it?
No.
Okay.
We have had an employee, a correctional officer, that... had to take time off that he did not have any time on the books and his pay was deducted.
Okay. But other than that, everybody's salary, their pay is never deducted unless there's an outstanding issue with...
There's benefit time that they plug into the absence.
Yes. Okay. Or some sort of family leave where they would be taken off the books, I guess.
We've never had that here. Okay. Yes.
But there's no issues with people saying, hey, I can't be at work for 2 weeks. Go ahead, just do your thing. Okay. Do you have anything else? Do you have any questions for us or any suggestions, I guess, that might clarify some things?
It's a good suggestion getting with Tina and looking over the slips that are submitted, you know, for the comp time and overtime and anything that they have a question mark next to them. It never would have wound up on that sheet had a slip not been issued.
Okay.
had not been filled out by the employee and either approved by me or approved by Bob or made its way through our system. No.
In your opinion, does the 1041, 1042 time mean anything to timekeeping, payroll, anything?
No.
The supervisor or who's ever monitoring the deputies that are on?
I mean, it's clearly better than nothing. I mean, to have an electronic record in the mm-hmm. CAD that somebody went 1041 and 1042. And that is something based on, you know, some conversations with the treasurer's office and stuff like that and some questions that we've been asked. We do now require every employee to do that, mm-hmm. okay, starting sometime in January. Prior to that, the only people that were going 1041 and 1042 in the CAD were, well, I guess the deputies, obviously.
And all deputies have a vehicle at home?
Yes.
So they're able to do that remotely, whereas yes. What's the CAD procedure for somebody, say a secretary that works in this office?
There wasn't one,
okay.
But there is now.
Since
sometime in January.
Okay.
We require them to notify dispatch that I'm here, I'm working, and they get placed into CAD that they are here as well.
And that's just a phone call from the office, so they're already here?
Yeah. Okay. Or to be honest, or the dispatcher sees them come in, Tina's at work, Eric's at work, and they get put
they
into CAD.
In.
Right? Strangely enough, the correctional officers log into the system because of what they call SLAM. That's our jail booking system, okay? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, strangely enough, it doesn't create a report that's very readable or very good at when they're there and when they're not. You know, their 1041 and 1042 don't exist in that system. So starting January sometime in there, we require them to go in and out of CAD 41 and 42 as well.
Okay. And if there was an issue with a deputy not being to work on time, not being ready for duty, that would be handled with their shift supervisor or with
it would first go to the sheriff. It would first go to the sergeants. You know, we got a rank structure here. It'd go to one of the two sergeants or to me or the sheriff. Doesn't really matter. Typically, we'd send that to a sergeant first. If that's not curing the
problem. Are there any people that you've had issues with that with?
I've had some correctional officers. I've had issues with that.
Okay.
And I've talked to them personally.
Gotcha.
They're no longer here.
Do you have a record, like a roster of all sheriff's office employees
yes.
that you could provide us?
Yes.
Just so we know who's grouped under who and have a better understanding of yep. everyone.
Absolutely.
And this is not to go behind anybody's back. I told the sheriff this, and we wanted to start with you guys intentionally. But we will be talking to other people, and that's, we just want an open discourse from everybody. What are the procedures here? And it's not to go behind anybody, it's just to get the full story because
sure.
we're fact finders, obviously. You know, you do this stuff, you're an investigator here, and
sure.
we just need to get the whole picture and make it clear what's going on, and then hopefully we can get to the point where we can get everybody here on the same page.
Yeah.
And then real quick, I'm sure it's on audio in the first 5 or 10 minutes when we first asked about it, but I just want to make sure that it is. Could you again go through just real quick when an employee submits an overtime slip or a comp time slip, who touches it, who it goes to, and then the final process?
If it's a correctional officer, that overtime slip would go to Dane, the sergeant. She compiles them throughout the pay period, and then she gives them over to Bob Zukowski, who coordinates that and checks it with the schedule and that, and then it goes to Tina, who compiles all of that on payroll day. She then provides all of those slips along with the payroll sheet that has everyone's salary amount there, and then I fill in the overtime. On occasion, doesn't happen very often, but if there's a question about overtime or it just doesn't look like, wait a minute, now why is there overtime there, but this person has overtime there, I'll call in the jail sergeant to explain what happened. There's never been a discrepancy. There's never been two people putting in for overtime working the same shift when there should have been only one of them. She's always able to show me on the schedule why this has happened or what has occurred there. There's never been an issue there. I fill out the payroll sheet, including the overtime, with everyone over, and I email it over to the treasurer's office.
One quick question: when you turn it in, there's still a few days that have to be worked?
Yes.
Okay. Say somebody works overtime on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Does that have to be added to the next pay period, or can that be added?
Could you say that one more time, please?
When you submit it, say you submit on Monday, correct?
Yeah, Monday.
On Wednesday, a deputy has to work some overtime.
Yes.
Where would that Wednesday overtime?
Next payroll.
And would that just be reflected on your calendar, but then it would be added? I guess, how does it get added in to show the correct date being worked?
It really wouldn't on the payroll report that I submit. The only place that it would show up is on the slip that they submitted.
Gotcha. And that would show the correct date, and then that would...
Right.
We'd be able to compare that.
But they would not get paid for it until the next payroll cycle, because they worked it after I submitted payroll for... Now,
and your payroll is not electronic, so it would say on the next payroll, all it's going to say is hours worked, 8 hours of overtime,
that's
this...
It.
But it's not assigned to a date.
But it will not reflect that it was last payroll.
Okay. But that's part of the changes that are coming up with the new...
That's part of the changes that have started today.
Okay. Is there any chance I can, and I can ask the sheriff this, can I get a copy of what you guys are doing now to rectify? That I think he showed me the new sign-in sheet that you guys have.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so.
The red tape format.
Yeah, that's going to start Sunday.
Okay. Can we get a copy of that?
Sure. Perfect. Sure, absolutely.
Is there anything else that you need right now?
I am good.
And if you don't have anything else for us, we'll just go ahead and end the interview.
Time is 1:10.
1:10, and the interview is concluded.
Yeah, I'll get you a copy of that.